Welcome, everyone, to Unconventional Lifestyles. I am your host, Whit Aldridge, and this podcast is all about exploring people's lifestyles who are living unconventionally. I aim not only to entertain listeners, but also to expand the mindset of thinking outside of the status quo. From digital nomads and expats living abroad, to seasonal workers and people working remotely, I will reveal my story and life experiences through conversations with people who I think have interesting stories as well. So stay tuned and get inspired. Today's episode is a little different from the traditional format of the show. I recently connected with an old friend of mine that has always been like a brother to me. His energy and positive outlook on life is uber contagious, and he lights up the room every time I talk with him, even though it has been some time since we spoke. On today's episode, we have Mark Brown. And Mark is an entrepreneur, creator, author, keynote speaker, and so much more. And I must admit, I am genuinely excited for this episode, and I've been looking forward to it all day. Welcome to the show, Mark, and thank you so much for coming on, sir.
Whit, thank you, man. This is an honor for me. I'm so glad we're connecting right now, seriously.
Yeah, and speaking of connecting, we were chatting a bit before the recording started, and you said something that kind of stuck with me, and I was like, this is cool. You said, the universe has been trying to connect us lately. So, talking about you and I, so what did you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, it really has. It's been insane, and I'm just so grateful for it. So for those of you that don't know, Whit and I have known each other for years and years and years, but we haven't connected in a couple, at least, you know, other than like typical Facebook, you know, hoping each other's doing well and whatnot. Because as you know, Whit's an adventurer and has done some really amazing things. And recently, literally not having spoken to Whit in like, I don't know, 2 years, let's just say that, in the last few weeks, three separate events have occurred that your name has popped up. People that have entered my life newly said, hey, Whit is here. Do you want to do this? Excuse me. You know, and Whit, you yourself messaged me out of the blue in that same time frame. So three separate incidents involving you. And it's just like, okay, let's listen to this and let's connect.
The laws of attraction at work right there.
Totally. Absolutely, man.
And speaking on that, man, I've noticed a lot of negative energy in the world lately, from negative, depressing lyrics to pop songs, this millennial music, which is bizarre because a lot of them have like an upbeat tempo or beat that's really catchy, but these, you know, not so positive lyrics to, you know, reportings from major media outlets down to the haters on Facebook. So I'm just curious how you navigate around all of this negativity in the media and in general.
Sure. Yeah, man, I love that. You're absolutely hitting the nail on the head on this. I'm going to preface this with saying that I used to be a part of that, meaning just outputting a bunch of negativity, complaining, finding what I'm lacking. I mean, I was riding that wave, okay? So I totally acknowledge and accept that I had shortcomings revolving on that in the past. But you're right. I mean, here's the deal about mainstream media. I am not against it. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch it, but I think it's like a Hershey's bar, right? You should consume it with caution. You should mindfully consume it. Understand that their job is to get you to react, is to get you, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. That is the culture for mainstream media. So the people, the danger of so much of it is that people aren't understanding that concept. They are taking it as that is the world, that is the truth, and the world's going to hell in a handbasket, right? But that's just the culture of mainstream media, or people that don't like to nurture themselves and their mindset and their perspectives. That's the easy perspective to go to. That's the reptilian brain. Okay, what am I lacking? Why is life shitty? Why am I struggling? You know, all of those disempowering questions. I mean, that's so it's either If It Bleeds, It Leads, or The Lazy Man's Perspective. So my sensitivity to those things, and it sounds like yours as well, is super high. So when I see those things, I just know it's one of those two things. Okay, that's fine. It's there, whatever. But I'm going to shine regardless. I've got light to emit. I'm going to radiate. And that's that. You know, I can't control what they output. I can only control what I output, right?
You know, that brings up an interesting topic that, you know, I guess it's the old saying, you can't believe everything you see or read or whatever. I feel like in our generation or our society now, that if it's on Facebook or if it's on Fox, it's what it is. I don't think people like take the time to dissect it and actually make an opinion for themselves. It's just being force fed down their throat, and they just take it like drinking from a fire hydrant, which is very sad.
Yeah, I'm sad for them. And like I said, I can't judge them or anything because I used to do the same thing, and so I can't judge them for that, but I feel sad for them because they are absorbing it and believing that it's the truth and just the way it is, right?
So, Mark, are there any quotes or mantras that come to mind that you find yourself repeating on a daily basis? For example, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. Henry Ford said that, and this one's always stuck with me. I love it. Do you have any quotes or inspiring things that surround you on a daily basis like that?
Absolutely, man. I really do. And it kind of is dependent upon what cycle I'm in or what season I'm in. Right now, I'm really getting it. I'm trying to grind and make things happen. So Peter Thiel, who is one of the original PayPal founders with Elon Musk, he's famous for saying, you need to start thinking about how to achieve your 10-year goals in 6 months, right? And so that's all about exponential growth, not this slow, gradual, kind of conventional thinking. You need to think huge, massive, things that never would have occurred to you before occur to you when you start thinking, oh, shit, you know, that's a lot I've got to fit in really quick. So that is just like haunting me almost on a daily basis.
I hear you, man. It's like that, you know, we lose sight of the big picture sometimes with the, you know, we get caught up in the daily routines and, you know, the normal grind. So to keep your mind focused on that bigger picture is definitely, you know, what we have to look at.
So absolutely.
I agree with you. So that being said, do you have any sort of daily routines or rituals or habits that guide you through your day? And if so, what does that look like? What does a day in the life of Mark Brown look like?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say this. It's not popular, I can tell you that. When I tell people, no, I can't go out because I go to bed at 9 o'clock, it's not popular.
You're old man, I like it.
Yeah, man. I'm an old spirit. So this is what happens. Every day I wake up at 5:30 or 6, and I call this time the sacred. So I wake up at 5:30 or 6. And I meditate, and then I pray, and then I do my affirmations, and then I do my reading. Reading not fiction, reading nonfiction, things that are inspirational, motivational stories, things that get me primed for the day. Tony Robbins is famous for calling it priming.
Yeah.
Every day I try to wake up, get myself ready, because I'm just like anybody else. And I think there's a misconception, honestly. A lot of people think they're supposed to roll out of bed and just be like, boom, yes, on fire, let's go, let's go. And it's not like that. You have to engage in experiences that are going to get you there in the morning, right? And so I think a lot of people wake up feeling tired. That's natural. It's okay. Don't judge yourself for that. Just figure out what puts you in those states that get you going and do those things. And by, 7 o'clock, you're getting it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I like that. And why do you choose to get up at 5:30 in the morning? Is it because you have, you know, family with a young son, or is it just, is it circadian rhythm or what?
Yeah. I think it is a rhythm. And honest to God, like, I absolutely love the morning time. I love how peaceful and tranquil it is. And I love hearing the birds in the morning. I'm just, it's just something that gets to me. It gets me in that meditative, tranquil mindset, and then I can go from there, you know?
So you mentioned part of your daily routine is meditation, prayer, and affirmations. I mean, we don't have to dig into this, but just off the cuff, I mean, what do those processes look like?
Sure.
I mean, you know, as much as you want to tell, you know.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm an open book. I mean, yeah, no worries. So yeah, so my meditative process is I just have a place downstairs. I have a little meditation cushion, and I take 10 to 20 minutes every day. And just sit quiet, focus on my breath, and really kind of come back to my body and try to exist in presence instead of what happens throughout the rest of the day, which is, thinking about what has to be done and deadlines and whatnot. So it's definitely the sacred time to where I'm really in tune and aware that I'm alive and what a blessing that is. And so that naturally moves into a prayer of gratitude and being just offering thanks that I'm living here in the United States in this time with this technology, and in this ultimately abundant universe. And it's just amazing. And so that goes into prayer, and then it's time to read and start getting my business or momentum going with motivational stories or, because I, just like everybody else, man, I get kicked down and lose faith and have doubts and all that, but that time reading and learning from others' past failures and them overcoming them, I mean, that's, it's just so priceless, man. And that gets me ready for the business day. You know what I'm saying?
So with your meditation, do you practice any particular type? Have you carved out some type of, self-guided or not self-guided, yeah, but self, I guess, developed, yeah, type of meditation? Or is it like TM or what?
It's not TM, but, I do a lot of self, but I can tell you this, that my favorite, guided meditation teacher is Tara Brach, and she's really popular on iTunes. So if your listeners haven't checked her out, she has a wealth of guided meditations on iTunes, and she is a rock star. So check her out if your listeners haven't heard of her.
Yeah, no, the reason I asked that is I recently started meditating not too long ago. When I say not too long ago, I mean the past couple months. And
heck yeah.
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah, me too. And I found it really, really easy to just kind of just be able to, I didn't take any courses. I didn't do anything. I just sat there for 10 minutes.
Yes. And just, yes, that's perfect.
And let my mind do its thing and just kind of reel it in when thoughts started going crazy. But recently, yeah, and the reason what I'm getting at is different types aren't for everybody, but I found one that worked for me. But I downloaded the Headspace app recently.
Yeah. Very popular.
Yeah, it is, but it just didn't work for me. I didn't want to hear it. I just wanted to go in into my own body and just feel and just accept what was going on and the sounds around me.
That
kind of thing. So I was just curious about other people's meditations.
Yeah. And you know what? That's actually what you did is that is what meditation's about. It's not because, before I started my spiritual journey, I thought maybe, Buddhism was the way out of dogma or whatever. And it's not. There's so much dogma that in practices right ways or wrong ways and whatever. But in all of the texts, it talks about, the beginner's mind. That is where we're trying to go. We're to nothingness, not worrying about which way our pinky is contorted, right? It's about clearing, not about anything else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think you said, earlier, I've definitely been in the tides of just negativity and self-loathing, yeah, all that. So back in the day, I got turned on to Eckhart Tolle.
Oh man. Oh yes. Standing ovation.
Well, one thing that's always stuck with me from his teachings or whatever, they're super in depth and intense. And I've always done the audio books, but I guess the calming factor of his voice kind of like puts me to sleep at times, and it's hard to focus. But
Totally. But
one thing that really stuck with me for a while was observe the thinker. You are not your mind. So basically that idea of I cannot live with myself, right? So there in part, there's two. There's the I and the myself. I cannot live with myself. But the whole idea of just sitting back and watching the thinker, the whole idea of you are not your mind. Your mind is a tool contained within this body. You are the soul and the, you know, the...
You are the timeless presence, and your thoughts are just projections, and people identify with them and think that's them. And preach with it. That's what I'm talking about, bro.
Well, I'm kind of going off the rails here, but no, I was just thinking about this earlier. It's like, you know, we live in a time where human existence and human life is easier than it's ever been.
Oh God.
You know what I'm saying? Like the technology, everything that's going on, but then there's all this negativity around. And I don't, you know, I've been trying to figure out what's going on with that. I think maybe the depression or the anxiety or whatever you want to label it that's running, you know, rampantly through, you know, the society is that, you know, back in the day we were kind of built or, I don't know, evolved or whatever you want to call it to be like this, have somewhat of an animal instinct to go out and like gather and, you know, do for ourselves. And now like with advancements of technology and, you know, like standard living and everything, it's very quickly going away. So I don't think like genetically or whatever you want to call it, that trait has fell off from where we are living at today. So perhaps that's why we feel like that.
That's a really great assessment. And I think that's a theory worth looking at for sure. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. We definitely still have that reptilian or animalistic, that primal, like, drive, which causes a lot of our turmoil and suffering. That's for sure. So I'm with you on that.
What have you been reading lately, or what kind of references do you keep around when you're in need of some soul food?
Okay, so this man is polarizing, but he's a superhuman to me. I love Tony Robbins. I always keep one of his books Insight, because not that I need to read them all the time, but he always creates content that you could literally just pick it up, pick any page, and you will get one piece of something that will help you continue or inspire you or clear your head. So he's a huge person for me to get me off my rump. But of course I keep a lot of, Thich Nhat Hanh around, Eckhart, of course, Stephen Covey, love that guy, the late Stephen Covey. That's who I've got floating around right now to get me through this season, right? Or not, you know what? Every one of your listeners, I want to apologize because I said get me through this season, right? I don't want to get through. Let me be clear. I don't cope and I don't get through. I thrive.
That's awesome. And like talking about Tony Robbins, like, you know, I was outside of the States for a couple of years and then recently got back after like a tour in Southeast Asia where I spent like 3 months there. And I wanted to do like this 10-day like silent retreat. It didn't happen, just couldn't make it work out or whatever. I think it would have been very challenging at that point in my life, just where my head was at the moment. I was ready to get out of Antarctica and go experience silent. But all that being said is when I got back, one of the first things I saw on Netflix was the Tony Robbins documentary. And I was just, I watched it and the whole time through, like I didn't know anything about this guy, right? I didn't know anything about him. I watched this. I'm like, this guy is either the biggest hack in the world or this guy is like super awesome. And the more I watched this, like documentary, like it pulled at the heartstrings, like, you know, the whole thing. I mean, I know you've seen it, but have you ever been to one of his events?
No, I haven't, but that is on my 40 under 40 list. So
bro trip,
let's do it. I am down. You're going to have to be okay and comfortable with my ugly cry face because I guarantee I will be weeping like a child.
Mark, you look like a Greek god, You're the most handsome man I've ever known. Oh, what are you, like 6'2", 6'3", just chiseled, long hair? You look like a Greek god, man. I love it.
See, what your listeners need to know is that it's really easy for you to lie because they can't see me.
Any rate, moving forward, so you are an author yourself, and you've created a children's book series, Zen Pig.
Zen Pig.
What is Zen Pig, and why did you decide to create this series?
Yeah, so Zen Pig, children's book series, fifth one comes out in 6 weeks. So Zen Pig is all about teaching children mindfulness, compassion, gratitude, giving, self-forgiveness, all the evergreen values that I wish I had learned much, much earlier. I don't know about you or your listeners, but I spent a good portion of my life really screwing up pretty hard. And so I had my son Noble, and I wanted to help him avoid so many of the mistakes that I feel like I could have avoided had I been introduced to these concepts earlier, right? I was in my early 20s before I'd ever thought of gratitude or compassion in those ways, mindfulness. And so it's really just me trying to gift the next generation with tools and techniques to thrive, to make better choices. I mean, they're going to suffer, sure, but if they learn these concepts early enough, I think that they can suffer less.
Now, that's great. I mean, I think that's what the world needs, especially with, content is just running rampant right now. And
absolutely.
You know, I don't have kids myself, but, you know, I've seen a lot of my friends, man, that have like small children that are that age where, you know, they're walking and talking, all that, when they just want to like chill, like get them to just chill out, they just give them an iPhone or like a tablet. And I'm just like, I'm not a parent, and I'm not condemning that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that, right, I've just noticed that that's been kind of a thing. And it's like, we need content out there in that instance for the children to develop their mindset in. I mean, that's the world we live in. We give the children the tablets and the iPhones. So that's the new norm. Well, we need the new norm, you know, content to put in front of their faces, you know? So,
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that you've created that, and I actually have my own copy of the first series.
Yes, you were an early adopter, man. Thank you so much. That meant so much to me. You bought one the first month it came out.
Yeah, I got my signed, autographed copy like right on my bookshelf right now, man. It's things like that. I know you're out there trying to better the world and better your surroundings or just making positive impact, and that's really important to me as well. So, of course, Mark.
Thank you, brother.
So what is the what's the long-term goal of the series, and how will it grow, and how has it grown up to this point? I mean, what kind of impact have you seen from the series, and what kind of impact are you striving to make on continuing?
So I like to say that I want Zen Pig to be the synonymous with a mindful household, right? And that just means a household that honors and respects and attempts to instill evergreen values in their children, right? And so, you know, Dr. Seuss and Cat in the Hat, they are synonymous with literacy. Like, that's the whole reason that book was created, was for literacy. And it has been a powerhouse for, you know, 50, 60 years. And that's great. And I want it to keep going. But emotional intelligence is just as important as literacy. And so I would like Zen Pig, of course, I'm the creator, so of course I'd say this, but I want Zen Pig to be the Cat in the Hat of emotional intelligence, right? And so I see it as a worldwide brand for any parents that just want to instill those values in their children. Somebody, you know, there's plenty of superheroes, but teach them how to love each other, to forgive themselves, you know, that's so important, so important. So we're on our way to that. You know, we've got three or four sister products that we're attempting to conjure up and manifest and make happen. So hopefully by Christmas we can get at least one of those out. But we're going to continue to pour the titles out, absolutely. And we are so grateful and blown away by the acceptance. I mean, you know, it's been incredible. Australia and New Zealand, if you have any listeners there, I love you. You guys have embraced Zen Pig huge. Thank you so much. So,
absolutely. We've had people from both, I guess, the same continent, if you will, from Oceania on the podcast as well. So, yeah, we're
That's
worldwide,
awesome.
Bro.
I love them. Yes, please. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, we're just blown away. You know, when I made Zen Pig, the initial one, I didn't think I was going to turn it into a book, but I took it to my mastermind group, and they're like, no, you have to do it. See you next week with version one, right? And so that's how it kind of all started. And I thought, okay, let's do this. Maybe it'll sell 10 copies, you know, whatever, right? This is really for Noble anyway. But people like yourself, man, they just accepted it, and early adopters just lifted it up, shared it. And so it's been a really great thing for me, for sure. I've just been honored to have people support.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think obviously I want to support you and your efforts. And, you know, we've worked together in the past and all that kind of stuff, been great friends, and I want to support you. But I know you're putting great content out in the world. And so even though I don't have kids and it's a children's series, I wanted to get the first book and just dive into it and not only see what you've done and where you've, you know, went to the print world, but also just understand the message. And honestly, it's so simplistically beautiful that it's got to be hard to make it like that. Just it's like a knife's edge, dude. It's so dialed in, you know.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah,
that's my book review right there.
Thank you, man. Well, that's a hello review, and I really appreciate it. You know, I write Zen Pig for myself as much as anybody because God knows I need it. You know, my son calls me out all the time on, he will literally quote Zen Pig when I'm messing up, right? Like I'll spill a drink or something and be mad or like whatever. And he will quote Zen Pig on me and be like, damn, I gotta practice this stuff. I gotta practice what I preach.
And how old is Noble?
He's 4 now. Yeah.
4 years of age. You're already making an impact and he's seeing the progress out of this. Mark, you're doing some good shit in the world, man.
Thanks, man. I'm trying. Thank you.
And, you know, I noticed from the Zen Pig website, for every book sold, there are charitable donations going to provide clean drinking water for those in need. Yeah. So how does that work? And why did you decide to donate to that space of need?
Yeah, man. So when I started Zen Pig, I knew that I wanted it to be philanthropic. I wanted it to be a social enterprise, a lot like Tom's. In the fact that I wanted it to give back. One necessity for me though was I wanted it to be very specific because I am not bashing this at all. I am so glad and just really blown away by how many brands, you know, a portion of the proceeds do this. That's great. I love that. But since my product is for children, that's hard for them to conceptualize, right? And so I wanted it to be very specific. And so I started researching philanthropic causes, what the world was going through, yada, yada, yada. And I couldn't believe the staggering numbers of people on Earth in this day and age without access to clean water. I was baffled because we are very blessed to live in an area where I live in Nashville, and you know, I'm worried about giving my kid an organic cucumber, right? And I was just in my own little bubble. I didn't really understand. And when I started researching these things and I found that clean water was an issue, I was like, okay, I can't even imagine the horror of being a father and not being able to give my son or daughter clean water. Like, that is hell on earth, right? And so that just called to me and I was like, this is what's got to happen. From there, I just started emailing, contacting every clean water nonprofit that I could get a hold of, and I couldn't believe this. The one that was local in Brentwood, not far from me at all, 20 minutes, embraced this project, could give me specific numbers, invited me to their office, wanted me to be as involved as I wanted to be, and I was just blown away. So we've had this incredible relationship since day one. and they are able to provide 10 people clean water for 1 year for every copy sold. Like, it's nuts, and it's absolutely baffling that it's so cheap to do so, and it's still a problem. But going back to philanthropic cause, is that that's easy for a child to conceptualize. They have 10 children in their classroom. They can get that. So they can say, okay, you know, this, my family gave 10 people clean water. Like, that's a big deal. That teaches them the power and the joy and the great honor of giving to others, right? And so that's how it came about. And people have just been killing it. Everybody who supported ZenPig is supporting clean water, and I am eternally grateful.
And Mark, I can attest to that. I spent 3 months in Southeast Asia recently, and it's different. I mean, it's an epidemic, even in those countries. Like,
yeah, brutal.
Here in the States, I get my water from a spring, like out of the ground, free, yeah, out of a spring, minerals, yeah, the whole nine. It's so good. It tastes like a milkshake sometimes.
Mm. God,
it's
just,
it's viscous, you know, like no, yeah, Brita pitcher, ooh, none of that. Yeah,
like that word. I'm putting that in the next ZenPig, bro.
But no, like when I was in Southeast Asia, I met up with this this organization. There's actually a couple of free divers that, you know, they do like scuba diving without the tanks, kind of a deal. I mean, and these guys are crazy. They can go down like 90 or like 30 meters with no air. It blew my mind. But at any rate, they have this organization called Trash Hero. And in Southeast Asia, let me back up a little bit. In Southeast Asia, there's no like pure water sources. So all the water is like, you know, brought in there for the tourists, for the people living there. And it's all in plastic, you know, and it's, yeah. And it was hard for me because I really don't like drinking out of plastic. The whole, you know, all the things with plastic, you know, I mean, that's the only way you can get clean drinking water there. And it's a shame, but that it just is what it is. Until, yeah, we figure out like a, you know, bigger picture solution for that,
right.
So people,
right,
are you know drinking out of all these plastic containers, but this organization, they basically do these trash cleanups, and they instate volunteers from whatever area they're in, from like Bali to Southeast Asia to wherever, and they've been a huge success. But I think one really cool thing that they have done is they've even built a school with this method.
Oh, wow.
They created this thing called an eco brick, right?
Okay.
So basically, they're going out into these oceans and free diving, the beaches, wherever there's trash, that this abundance of plastic that's just been shipped into Southeast Asia, because that's the only way you can get clean drinking water. It's a catch-22. But basically, they're taking all this trash, and they'll take, for instance, like a liter bottle of water that's empty, that's trash. Well, they'll, yeah, fill that liter bottle of water up with, you know, like other plastics that are,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so
that's a great idea.
And then but it takes a lot of time, because they make, sure, these, they call them eco bricks, and they make these eco bricks like really like thick. Like they spend a lot of time like shoveling like plastic little, you know, bits and rubbish into a liter bottle, and it takes them a long time, but they've actually, with their organization, have been able to build an entire school in the Philippines out of these eco bricks. So I don't know, man. I just want to tell you about that.
Yeah, if you could put a link in the bottom of this, because I want to check them out and give them a shout out, because that is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're actually, I've got a podcast here with them, Jan and Petter. They're from the Czech Republic, and great dudes, man. They're so awesome, great guys. So, you know,
yeah, I'm checking them out.
Yeah,
that's rad.
Yeah, check out the podcast, and I'll drop them in like the show notes as well.
That's sweet.
But yeah, like, sorry to go off on the tangent, but
no, I love it.
But how does the money flow through the brand work?
Yeah. So there's basically three channels of income to ZenPig, and that's through the website, ZenPigBook.com, retailers, especially locally. I think we're in like 16 local retailers, and Amazon. You know, that's worldwide, like the website. So between those three, that's how ZenPig gets his money, and that's how people get clean water, and that's how it works.
Gotcha, man. That's awesome. I'm so happy to see you doing this, and somebody,
thanks,
you know, putting that positivity back out in the world, you know?
I'm trying, brother.
Oh, you're doing a hell of a job, brother. But aside from ZenPig, you recently launched a new brand, the yes. Inner Space Program.
Yes.
What's that all about, bro?
Basically, this is the message for adults, right? You know, we're going pretty hard in the children's market, but my communicator spirit is really aimed at adults, as many of your listeners could probably tell by sprinkling of profanity.
Have it, man. You got to spice it up a bit. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll put the explicit tag on this podcast. No problem.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Parental guidance. The Inner Space Program is all about helping people awaken to their true nature, become the highest version of themselves, and really, so many people are concealing their light, and I really just want to help them blossom and unfold and allow the universe to flow through them, because I really believe that all of us have this spectacular, unique good that we are supposed to put in the world, but we layer on all this bullshit and yes. judgment. And like, we want to hold ourselves back because we're afraid. We're just da 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 da. And yes. so I am here to fight that in every way possible, because I know the tremendous good that is just being, it's just waiting to be released, right? And if I can just, if I can just pry a little bit off, 10 people, like, all right, let's do this. I don't care. Like, just more light, more light, more light, more light. You know what I'm saying?
No, man, I think it's a brilliant cause. Like, I recently came across a quote, and which I could relate with, somewhat. It was, be the person you were before all the bullshit set in.
Oh, I wish I would have wrote that. Dang it.
I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something, you get the gist of it. It was something to that yeah. effect. And it just, yeah. man, that really stuck with me as well.
Absolutely. I mean, because we just have this mental baggage, and we made it ourselves, and we inherited it from our parents and our surroundings. But now that we're an adult, we can choose differently, right? And so let's unpack the bags. Let's go. It's time to do our good, right?
I guess with the Inner Space Program, how do you go about like how does money flow through to that? Are you doing like speaking engagements or what?
Yeah, so we're back at speaking engagements. I used to do that before Zenpig, but now we've kind of built Zenpig to a place where he's a little bit more autonomous. It doesn't demand as much of my monitoring. He's not a newborn child any longer, so he's kind of a toddler now. So we're back at the speaking engagements.
Yes.
Excuse me. That is what you asked me, correct? Okay. So we're back at the speaking engagements, talking about mindfulness, presence, gratitude. I think it's baffling how old I was before I heard a bird, like really heard a bird, or saw a sunset, or saw a star. Like, it's baffling. And so those speaking engagements are really just to help the audience
yes.
awaken to their surroundings and their current abundances, because there's a big message that you are going to be happy when you've got the Maserati, when you've got the Lambo, blah, blah, blah. But those are, and it's completely okay to have those things. That's, I'm a capitalist in a fair way. Right. But, I don't want people to miss their entire life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to live right now because you're abundant right now. You have so much right now. And it's so important. It's so important.
No, I mean, you're 100% correct, man. I think that's, the thing with the American dream and the baby boomers era and all that, and where we're at now and the economy, all that
yeah.
kind of stuff. But a dog, when I was in Southeast Asia, when I was in the Philippines, I was on my buddy's, he doesn't own the island, lives on the island, but there's a bunch of islands in the Philippines, but he has a resort on like a very untouched, like non-tourist island in the Philippines. So I made it down there.
Nice.
Dude, I could do a whole podcast about what I went through to get there and what I went through to get back. It involved a cargo ship with cattle and livestock and the whole nine. But basically what I'm getting at is, I spent a couple weeks there, and they literally, for the most part, live off the fat of the land. It's amazing. And they're so happy.
Yeah.
They're so, like the children, they were,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you can call it poverty or poor. I don't think it was that. It was just, this is how we do, you know, this is, we got it the way we got it. And they were, dude, these That's kids right. were so happy. They, I'd wake up every morning and they would just be like giggling and running around with me. And man, it was like, so anytime I'm like, you know, That's battling insane. With like, oh man, whatever. It's like, I can remember that time and be like, yeah, that's what life's about. You can see the love in those little kids over there.
Yes, what a blessing.
So with the keynote speaking stuff, where do you usually find your soapbox and what's the message or messages that you're trying to get across and to what audience?
Yeah. But I mean, mostly I find it through contact form on the website, theinnerspaceprogram.com, or word of mouth, honestly. I try to, you know, shine the light everywhere I go. So the universe hooks it up when it's time and when those relationships blossom. So that's always been good. And the audience is just people that are interested in self-exploration or people that have thought that maybe there's a better life than what they have. It's true. I mean, there is a better life, and that happens when you wake up to it, right? I mean, there's a beautiful life, not on the horizon, but underfoot. And so any churches or corporate, I mean, I'm secular in the message, so it's not, it doesn't conflict with any religious beliefs or whatever, but I actually think it amplifies a religious, congregation, but that's my opinion. But, you know, it just anybody that just has a hint of curiosity or a inkling that it could be better because it can.
So do you have any other new venture ideas in the works, or are you just going to, you know, like focus down on all this other amazing stuff you got going on?
And I am tapped out. I'm tapped out. And yeah, absolutely. I just want to serve my audience, as best I can. So right now I don't have anything else on my plate. I just want to serve them better and deliver the message in a more meaningful way. Anything that can help.
Is there any other kind of ways that this audience could, you know, help out with what you're trying to do out there in the world?
Yes, there is. So I just started a Patreon account, and I don't know if your audience knows what that is, but so Patreon is this really cool thing. Where, you know, you have your YouTube audience or your Instagram audience, and that's great, and, you know, you love them, but there are some people that want even more access or like a behind the scenes backstage type of situation, and that's kind of what Patreon is. It's a membership site where people can support you and the content that you're putting out, and you give them, things that they would like. So, you know, here's a behind the scenes video or outtake on my last video, or, like one of the tiers is one-on-one Google Hangout with me once a month to talk about your goals, figure out where you're going, and how to, I can hold you accountable to them. So it's just a way to get to know each other a lot more intimately than just simply watching my YouTube videos or following the Instagram feed. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, that's brilliant. I'm probably going to sign up for a one-on-one each month with you.
Thanks. Thanks.
Accountability clubs are amazing.
Hey, man, I have to have accountability partners.
Me too,
I don't
man.
You guys. Seriously, if I don't, I can justify almost anything.
Yeah, dude, it's that's the mindset. No, and that brings up a good point. It's like the accountability aspect is, you know, like when I was in Antarctica, dude, I had a buddy that was a CrossFit instructor in Antarctica, and like, you know, I didn't want to really do CrossFit or whatever, but I had somebody to hold me accountable for my fitness. Yeah. And then at the same time, I would, you know, like we'd once or twice a week get together and like, you know, have our accountability meetings that wasn't the fitness accountability meeting, but the accountability meeting to help him grow his business and what he was doing, and just to keep each other accountable in all these other different respects. And to this day, I'm still working with the guy on,
that's awesome.
Yeah. His name's Daniel Jose, and, we call him CrossFit Jesus. He's like a Greek god with long hair and just built like a horse. And, yes.
What a jerk.
Hey, he looks like you, man. You guys could be brothers.
Oh, yeah.
But no, what I'm getting at is, you know, that accountability, he still holds me accountable to programming workouts for me now, which I have an app that he programs the workouts in. And
that's awesome.
And, you know, it's like high intensity workouts. I was like, dude, I like CrossFit. I like the high intensity of CrossFit, but I'm not trying to like throw my rotator cuff out at the same time, ACL out. But if you can create something, I can do in a hotel room with my own body weight. Let's go. And I was like, man, there's no way. And he's been crushing me for about the past 6 months with that thing. I've got muscles I never even knew I would have, man. It's crazy.
Wow,
but that just goes to show the accountability. It works.
Oh, it does, man. It really does.
I've got a couple random questions for you.
Lay it on me.
This is kind of my chance to put you on the spot and, dive deep into the mind of Mark Brown. If you could be any dinosaur, what dinosaur would you be?
Man, I would be a brontosaurus for sure. With my long neck, not eating meat, pretty gentle, docile. Yeah, I'm going to be a brontosaurus, man.
Fair enough, man. I like it. If you could hijack an Amber Alert sign, on the highway, interstate, whatever you want to call it, freeway, I think that's what they call it in California, what would your message be that you wanted to get across?
Breathe. Did you like that answer? Is it not?
No, I loved it. I just took a huge deep breath. That's why I didn't say anything.
Okay.
No, I mean, I've been noticing that if, I start to feel anxious or whatever, just breathe. No,
oh, absolutely.
Just breathe. Take it back into the body.
That's it. That's all you got to do is breathe. Everything else is everything else.
If you were an MMA fighter, what would be your ring entry music?
Oh, man. Okay, so this is where I'm so glad you asked me this question at the end of the show, because I think my answer will turn maybe we'll turn it off. But I'm a big fan of Kanye West's music, not behavior. Okay. So I would think Power by Kanye West.
And last question of the random section. If you could have drinks with anyone dead or alive, who would it be, why, and what would you want to talk about?
So one of my all-time favorite heroes is Carl Sagan. He is, if your audience doesn't know, Carl Sagan was a very famous astrophysicist and scientist and communicator. And he had the show Cosmos and so much more. I mean, he was just a brilliant guy. But he was an atheist, but his delivery and intelligence and articulation of the universe was a catalyst for my spiritual journey. And so I would love to talk to him about that, how an atheist turned me onto a spiritual journey. I mean, I would love to talk to him about that and kind of pick his brain about that and see what he had to say. he was so brilliant. If anybody hasn't watched The Pale Blue Dot, you can call it a monologue. Just watch it and you'll get his whole philosophy. I mean, it's a beautiful, unifying philosophy about humanity on Earth, right? And so that's definitely who I would drink with, for sure.
Well, Mark, where can people find out more about you personally online?
Yeah, so I would be honored if you would follow me on Instagram at Mark of the Cosmos or YouTube. Just search Mark Brown, the Inner Space Program. Subscribe there. If you have children, obviously, please, again, I'd be grateful for your follow on Instagram at ZenPigBook, or you can go to the website, ZenPigBook.com. And, if you are interested in Patreon and hanging out with me there, it's just patreon.com/theinnerspaceprogram.
Is there any place where people can come find you for, speaking engagements as well, or just in any of those avenues as well?
Yeah, any of those avenues, but the best place to do that would fill out the contact form on theinnerspaceprogram.com, and I will hit you up for sure. Be glad to do it.
Awesome, and all of this and other references throughout the episode will be available in the show notes. But Mark, brother, thanks for all the wisdom and mindfulness and open up the heart and putting it out there in the universe. There's not many people doing it these days, or they're just not being seen, so I very much thank you for being on the podcast today.
Man, I am so grateful for you and your listeners. Thank you so much. I'm just a messenger, but I appreciate it, man. Seriously.
All right, Mark. Well, I will talk to you soon, brother.
All right, man.
Interested in learning more about sponsorship incentives, or if you have someone in mind in which you would recommend to be interviewed on the podcast, then email me at whit@whitaldridge.com. That's whit@whitaldridge.com. I've been your host, Whit Aldridge, and I look forward to next time.